Cybersecurity contractors should think twice before joining the General Services Administration in SIN. I'm not talking about meeting your contracting officer at a motel. SIN stands for Special Item Number. Four new SINs for cybersecurity services sound like great opportunities. But according to my next guest, they could get companies in a lot of trouble. Alex Major is a partner at the law firm McCarter & English. He joins me now in studio. Alex, good to have you on.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
These SINs, what are they, first of all?
A SIN in GSA language is a special item number, and what it does is it allows the GSA to identify specific products or services within a category of what they want their customers to buy and what vendors can offer.
So it's almost a streamlined way of getting a new offering under an existing schedule contract?
Right. So what is happening now is something called Highly Adaptive Cybersecurity Services, which ironically stands for the acronym is HACS. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to break out the services of certain types of services that were being provided by IT vendors focused specifically on cybersecurity. So they're breaking it out from what's just general IT services, which could include any number of things, to specifically focus on cybersecurity issues.
And there are four of them.
Correct. There is penetration testing, which is the white hat hackers, if you will. There's incident response, which are services looking at once there has been a breach coming in and helping the federal customer out. There is cyber hunt, which also looks a little bit like continuous monitoring. Basically, they want to know what kind of bad guys are in the system, and they want to make sure that they target those folks. And then there's risk and vulnerability assessment, which is a lot more general, but they want to make sure that the vendors are able to provide certain types of threat intelligence for federal customers.
Now, you have called these SINs booty-encrusted hooks. Why do you call them that?
I borrowed that from Machiavelli. One of the things he basically says is that whenever you're dealing with someone, you need to make sure that maybe they do know what they're talking about, maybe they do know what they're doing, and that if it looks too good to be true, sometimes it might be. So what Machiavelli has been translated is, if you see booty, that there might actually be a hook in it.
Well, let's take the one, say, the penetration testing services.
Right.
And you sign up and an agency hires you to do that, what is the hook in there? You provide services, they pay you.
Right. The big issue here, as with any GSA contract, is making sure that the GSA understands what you are actually providing and what kind of limitations you're providing. So in all cybersecurity, we all recognize it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. So it is really imperative that whoever is providing cybersecurity services under any of these SINs is very clear on what they're providing, what they're not providing, and those limitations. I think that a lot of times the contracting officer might understand that, the federal IT person might understand that, but who will not understand that is generally the OIG 2 years later when something goes awry, or the Department of Justice when they come knocking.
So in other words, if you offer to do penetration testing and are hired to do so, and something penetrates anyway, you want to be shielded from whatever liability you might have for that,
or
you have
right.
to,
right.
That has to be built into the contract.
Cybersecurity is so dynamic, right? The whole offering of cybersecurity is so dynamic that the company and the customer needs to understand that just because you are secure today and that they couldn't get through in their penetration testing, for example, on Tuesday, that doesn't mean it's going to be that same way on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There are so many challenges, so many threats, and you know, the bottom line is with any cybersecurity effort, with any sort of penetration testing, to be secure, you have to be secure 100% of the time, but to be effective, you only have to get through once. So it's really a balance, and it's very important that vendors realize and educate their customers, which is the hardest part, but they need to educate their customers on what they're actually providing and that it is a snapshot in time.
And what about some of the other SINs? What might be a hook in one of those?
Yeah, it's really the same thing, making sure that they have the true understanding and recognition of the federal customer. For instance, incident response is an incredibly diverse area for any sort of service contract provider. Primarily because, once again, you need to make sure that you have all of the control that you need to actively pursue an incident response. You cannot be limited once you get in that, oh, you're not allowed to go into that system. Well, if your investigation and your incident response says, no, I know I'm looking at system A, but we're finding elements and evidence of system B, that you have the lateral ability to move into those systems.
So it's really not so much a function of what services you're providing as a contractual relationship that is very clear on what you can and cannot do and what you are and are not responsible for.
Correct. And it will be hard because, you know, we're all professionals. We all understand it. However, you have to, as a contractor, have to lay the record and the foundation that 4, 5, 12 years later, if something goes awry, that you are covered. And that's really hard to do because there will be a lot of Monday morning quarterback when something goes sideways.
We're speaking with Alex Major, a partner at the law firm McCarter and English, and we've seen that with companies get dinged for something that happens with respect to what they might have done years earlier. That's happened in cybersecurity in recent years.
Right, and it's a common problem. It's not just cybersecurity. It's anything with GSA contracts generally, right? That the contracting officer, the person that is examining for reasonableness, will look at it and say, yeah, everything's reasonable. They've had the negotiation, a year-long negotiation, and then all of a sudden, 7-10 years later comes around and DOJ is knocking on the door looking at False Claims Act violations because you didn't negotiate properly when you did. And so you need to make sure that you are doing everything you need to do. And this one is particularly unique. The new HACS SINs, the Highly Adaptive Cybersecurity SINs, is unique because they also are going to be doing a oral evaluation.
Yeah, that's another odd aspect of all this, that there's a down select through oral presentations with a panel judging them and so forth. It almost sounds like Jeopardy for government contracting.
It really does. And, it is going to be unique. There are no recording devices during the 40-minute interview. So it can be a 40-minute interview all the way up to 3 hours, depending on how many SINs that you're actually negotiating.
And you, as the vendor, cannot record that?
Correct. Correct. You could take notes, I assume. It's sort of interesting because, you know, whenever we're talking about looking to compete for a or challenge a decision, you want a record. So it's very I'm uncertain. I'm very curious to see how it actually turns out. You know, how will these oral examinations find their way into the pre-negotiation memorandum? Will they find their way into the pre-negotiation memorandum? In a recent discussion on the HACS, they said, yes, they will. But how exactly will they do that? So, again, that's one of those things that a contractor needs to understand when walking into that silent room is, A, take notes and don't make any promises that can be inferred or suggested or whatever. So even to the extent you can or can't, I'd ask, can I see your notes, please? And just, you know, double check to make sure that they are citing you properly before you walk out of that room, because there's a very limited appeal process as well.
Yeah, so you could say as a vendor to try to get onto one of these SINs, well, we've got technology that'll make sure nothing will ever penetrate no matter what. If you say that, they'll have it recorded. And then if something does get penetrated, you could be in big trouble.
Right. This is one of those areas where you want your IT people there more than you want your salespeople there, because the salespeople are there to make sales. But this isn't a sales situation. This is a descriptive situation about the technology that you're providing and the services you're providing. You don't need to embellish. You do not want to embellish at all.
But I wonder if that brings up the possibility of, say, a really careful vendor who does have the chops to do this and does an oral presentation in the care that you mentioned. They're competing with someone who could be stupid, but really brash and make all sorts of promises, impress the judges, get onto the SIN, and that doesn't really help the government if the careful, sober, but actually more capable one does not make it on there.
Right. And that's one of the things that I'm curious about. And we haven't seen this yet, or at least I haven't heard about it yet. Who is going to make up that panel, right? Who is going to be the America's Got Talent version of this GSA panel that can actively not only ask the questions, but at the same time, the scenario. So they're quizzing them. So I envision it of, so what would you do if, you know, Sally and Jeff it could be one of those types of scenarios.
So what's your overall advice for contractors that want to get into one of these four SINs?
Just be very careful and be very mindful going in. Just like with any GSA contract, you know, you need to make sure that you understand your pricing. This will be susceptible to the CSP, the commercial sales practices. So make sure you're identifying that and defining that well. Make sure you're defining your basis of award customer, limiting your definition of the basis of award customer. That's general GSA 101. But most importantly on these, you just really need to make sure you are categorizing and cataloging everything that you're saying. And if you don't feel comfortable removing something from a solicitation, don't do it. That is, you're sitting there talking with a professional who understands what you're doing and understands, you know, they get it. But you know what? You're not, the contract is not for them. The contract, think about it this way. The contract is for the DOJ investigator suing your company for False Claims Act in 6 years. So make sure your contract is very, very clear. As you said, limitations and are going to be critical in future litigation.
So I guess do no harm when you sin. Alex Major is a partner at the law firm McCarter and English. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.